We're now into the seventh day, and the seventh topic, and the topic I suggest is that we are the allness, we are the isness, we are paradise, and how do we understand it? How do we understand that we are the allness and the isness, the absolute, when those concepts are so unexplainable? There are no words that really define them. Well, I like to think of it in this way. I like to think that the allness is the kingdom of a king. The allness is the kingdom of a king. Now, that kingdom can be a harmonious kingdom, a warring kingdom, or whatever. You know, it can be a kingdom of vast possibilities. Now, the king is boss of his kingdom. He says how it is to be operated. He says how his people are to be created, what type of life they're to live. He says where he lives. Now, the king is a very humble man, and so he chooses to live in a little tent someplace, you know, and he chooses to have modest clothing, you know, rags, and he chooses to eat scraps from the table. And as he chooses to do this, he lives in the opulence or the poverty of his consciousness. Well, now, what kind of kings do you know about? Do you know about kings who live in limitation?
No.
Or who live in absolute opulence and abundance?
Abundance.
Does the king live in the greatest house in the land?
Yes.
And what's that called?
Palace.
His palace, his castle. The king's palace is the greatest house in the land. And if it isn't, then he makes it so. If one of his dukes or princes or whatever makes a greater castle than he has, he makes his greater, or he gives his to the duke and he takes over the duke's castle. No. But he always lives in the biggest, the best, and the finest in every aspect. Now, this king is first king of himself, and then he creates his kingdom. Now, you might say the land was already there, the people were already there. No. The king comes into nothing. When the king arrives, there's nothing there. There's no land, there's no people, there's no air, sun, air, earth, stars, there's nothing. You say, well, that's not really true. But it is. When the king arrives, he looks at the land and says, it is good and very good. He looks at the land and he said, it is rich, fertile soil. And I know how to make it even more fertile. I know the techniques to do that. He looks at the people and he says, these are outstanding people. These are the cream of the crop. These are geniuses. These are super people. These are intelligent people. These are loving, friendly people. They're healthy people, wealthy. You see, all these things. He puts upon them. He sees them that way. And he sees them so happy with everything they do. Because he's a king. He's a creator. Now, you might say, that's how God created humanity, you know. Good and very good. That's what God said at the end of his creation story, right?
Yes.
Good and very good. Okay, now, you, me, I, whoever is this king, we create our world. The fact that we're creating it out of something that's already there. It merely means that we had done some homework. You know. So when we got there, we had something to start with. We had our homework done. And so the people are there. The land is there. Now, what do we do in our kingdom? Do you like to go out and make it bigger by taking other people's land? Well, you can do that. Do you like to go out and destroy other people's property so that ours is the best? You can do that. Do you like to knock somebody else's product so your product is superior? A lot of people do that. Do you like to, in any way, put down somebody else? If you do, then you put yourself down. The king doesn't have to do that. The king enters into his palace, in his domain, and what does he do? He sees it good and very good. Now, the king invites all the neighboring kings to come and have a great party. And all these neighboring kings come and have a great party, and they say to the king, "Wow, you have a beautiful country. It's better than mine. You have beautiful people. They're better than mine. You have," and so on. And the kings say this to the king. And so the king says, "Hey, I want to give a seminar. I want to give a seminar on having the perfect kingdom. You want to come?" "Oh, sure." So all the kings in all the neighboring kingdoms, which is all the kingdoms that exist, come to his seminar. And at his seminar, he says to them, "Now look, when you go back home, you are going to be different. And you will look at your country totally different. You'll look at it as though it is the most beautiful, fertile land in the world, just ready for you to plant your seeds of perfection and joy and harmony and goodness in it." That doesn't sound much like a discussion on agriculture. No, it's true. But this is real agriculture. And when you go home, you will look at the people, and you will not see poverty or illness. You will not see limitation of any kind. You will only see who you are. But they are who I am. Hey, you are so right. They are who you are. So what we're going to do in this seminar is to take ourself. And I can upgrade myself. I have dreams I have never fulfilled yet. I have ideas that are floating in my mind that I've never realized yet. I want to do that. I want to reveal them. And they say, "You've got everything. What do you want to reveal?" "Hey, you let me do that. I'll work with you on your stuff." Okay, so now all the kings said in their private discussions with the big king, they said, "You know, the only way to build our kingdom is to go over and take somebody else's land. It's to take somebody else's people, to take somebody else's property and stuff. And so we should probably give the big king a name. We'll call him the Absolute King. The Absolute King." Right now, the Absolute King hears all this, and he knows all this. And so he says to the kings, he says, "Kings, what is it you want out of life?" "Oh, I want a lot of land. I want the a lot of people to be master over. I want to have a beautiful wife and a lovely family. I want a nice castle, you know, the biggest castle it can be. I want perfect health. I want, you know." And so then he says, "Well, kings, we can do this step by step, or we can do it all at once. Now, if we do it step by step, it's going to be very tedious, and it's going to be very time-consuming of our energy and so forth. However, if we do it all at once, then we have a total new look at things." And so they all said, "Look, King Absolute, it works for you. We can see that. We can see you got the neatest kingdom here. You got everything going for you. Everybody loves you, and you love everybody. The land is perfect. land grows beautiful crops. The rain comes at the right time, in the middle of the night, you know, and keeps the crops all watered and growing neat. And everything is beautiful and fantastic. King, absolute, that's what we'd like to do. We would like to be like you, the absolute king of perfect harmony, peace, love, abundance, joy, everything. And so the king absolute says, all right, here's what we do. We do one thing. Oh, really? Just one thing? Yeah, one thing, King Absolute said. What we do is I work on myself. But you have to get out there and have wars and change things. We've got to have a little bit of violence. You've got to have a little bit of coercion to get these things done. Yes, that's what you have to do in the relative world. But we're talking about the absolute world now. I am King Absolute. We're talking about the absolute world, Jim. And they say, all right, King Absolute, it works for you, so teach us. And they're very humble. I mean, kings that are humble, pretty good show. So, King Absolute says, here's what we do. First, we look at what we are. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if I take an axe and cut your leg off, you won't like that, will you? I can't walk. That's right. And if I take some good food and feed it to you, your body feels good. Oh, yeah. And if I give you a good massage or have my staff give you a good massage, you just feel so invigorated. Oh, that's a nice idea. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about our body, my body. Now, why am I talking about my body? Because that's where I start. My body is the temple of who I am. I am God. I am the King. I am King Absolute. And this body is what I use. Now, it's true my spirit is in here and my mind is in here and all that stuff. But first, I work where I can on my body. I can't work on my spirit too well until I get myself in order. I can't work on my mind too well until I get myself in order. But so I'm going to say that my body is the castle of King Absolute. Oh, but you've got such a great castle. Yeah, that's the outer castle. And this too is the outer castle. And just forget my outer castle. Let's look at this outer castle here. So I say to myself, body, I love you. Oh, come on now. Yes, yes, kiss your body. Love your body. If you can't reach it with your mouth, just kiss it with your thought, you know. And kiss your whole body. And gently massage your whole body with a gentle massage. So you hardly feel it, but the energy of your hand flows through your body. And tell your body, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like you, I like you. However you got to do it. But get this love affair going with your temple, with your body, because you live in there. You live in there, and you want a good body, a good temple, a good castle. How would you like to live in a castle where half of it's burned down? That's no fun. Would you like to live in a castle where it doesn't have any utilities in it? My God, no, you know. I know better. I want water, sewer, plumbing, I want electricity, telephone, I want everything, you know. I want the internet throughout the castle, you know, so I can do all the things I want to do. I want that castle to be the greatest, all right? So you buy the cheapest stuff you can and you put it in the castle. No, I buy the best. Okay, now your body temple deserves the best. And the best can only come from you because you're the best. So you say to your body, you say, I like you, I like you, I like you. I like me, I like me, I like me. And as you say this, your body says, oh, now you like me. Okay, if you like me, then that means a different show. That means a show where there's no more disease, there's no more unhappiness, there's no more sickness, there's no more hunger, there's no more anything that is contrary to a perfect body. And you say, yeah, you mean all that I can do just by loving my body? That's right. You put your nickel in the bus token, and you can get on the bus and take a ride. You don't put your nickel in the bus token, you don't get on the bus. The bus driver says, hey, there's a fare. And the fare is that nickel, that token. You say, it was more than that today. Well, forget that. It's just, you put in the money that the conductor asked for. So, your body is your vehicle. It is your temple. It is your bus. And to get into your bus, you have to put the token in there. And the token is, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And as you say this, as you say this, you recondition, you have your body think new thoughts about itself. Whereas before it thought that it could be ill, now it thinks, I can only be whole and perfect. You recondition your body, you recondition your temple with these new thoughts, these new ideas, these new attitudes, and as you recondition your body with all those new thoughts, those new attitudes, and those new ideas, then everything works out perfectly. But it is an everyday affair, an every minute affair. You cannot allow yourself 1 minute to think good thoughts about your body and the next minute to think bad thoughts. You say, well, it's relative, it's appearance, it's the illusion, it's what I see, my knee is bad. Look, tell your knee it's good, tell your knee it's fantastic, it's glorious, it's wonderful. But that's not true. Tell it to it anyhow. If you want your trying to think of what word to use for the king's people, if you want your people to be good, you got to tell your people they are good. And then your people will live up to your expectation of them. That's the way it works. If you want your people, I want to say congregation, but it's the people in the kingdom. If you want your people to be wonderful and perfect, you tell them they're wonderful and perfect. You keep telling the little boy, you're terrible, you're rotten, you're bad, and he'll just be rotten and bad and badder and rottener. But you tell the little boy, you're fantastic, you're wonderful. And the little boy says, oh, weren't you looking? Didn't you see what I did? Didn't you see what I did? You don't even hear him thinking those thoughts. You say, you're fantastic, I'm so proud of you. I want to go out and tell the whole world, this is my son, this is my boy, this is my child, this is my wonderful, wonderful. And, wow, Dad, you really think that about me? I sure do, son. Dad, that's wonderful. You know, he starts crying. And what are you crying about? Well, that's what I always thought about myself, too, but I didn't know that you thought about that about me. Well, hey, I'm the king, and you're my family, you're my child. Of course I think that about you. By the way, son, what do you think about me? Oh, Dad, you're the greatest. Well, so are you, son, you see? So, we talk like that to our body. We talk like that to our temple. We keep talking like that to our temple. 24 hours a day. 60 minutes in every hour and 60 seconds in every minute. We go into the nano state and we just live it, live it, live it. And when we live it, live it, live it, what happens? Pretty soon, that's the only thing we got in our mind. That's the only thing. Our son says, gee, Dad, you like me? You think I'm okay? I sure do, son. Oh, boy. Yeah. So when we say that to our body, we say, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious. The body says, yeah, I knew that always, but I didn't think you knew it, and I wanted to play the game, whatever you wanted me to play, and if you wanted me to play being sick and stuff like that, I'll do it, but it's not really my thing. But now that you're ready to have me be whole and perfect and fantastic and glorious, wow, I like that game. Yeah. See? So, every single instant of the day, it can allow for no falling down, no going backward. It cannot allow for giving in to any illusions or appearances instantly. If you stab your toe, you say, Homper, and you forget the stuff toe, you do. And you don't feel the pain. You don't even know about it. This is, you're totally, totally in charge of your thinking. You're totally in charge of your mind. You're totally in charge of everything that goes on in your world. Now, the other king is saying, I'm not sure what I believe in. And the king absolute says, I understand you guys. Now, do you like what I have? Oh, yes. Well, I tell you, that's how I got it. Now, you do what I ask you to do. Now, you're here on retreat. And your country is being run by your ministers and so forth, and you don't have to worry about a thing. You're here. And they know you're here, and they know you're alive. They know they cannot make a coup to take over your country because they don't want to. Because that's not going to be in your consciousness as we go along here. And they say, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. But you see, if you think of it, you empower it, and bad things can happen. Okay, now, you guys go back to your suite in the castle and get in your jacuzzi, you know, or swim in your Swimex. And every suite has its own jacuzzi and Swimex and all the neat little things. Or go play golf on the golf course, and or fly our sailplanes and do anything you want. But just while you're doing it, you say, I like me, 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 I like me. I love me, I love me, I love me, I love me in the mirror up there. You know, I love me, I love me, I love me. And that's who I am. And then constantly say, this is the temple of the living God. I am the living God. This is the temple of the living spirit. This is the temple of King John or King Paul or King Henry, whatever their name may be. You know, King Absolute is the boss, you know. And so they did this. They did this. They did this. They went to sleep doing this. They did not talk to anyone else. They did not do anything else. They were fed their meals and they were given the things, but they were in their own world. They did not have to respond to anybody for anything because everything was already there. The minute that it was time for them to do it, they didn't have to think about it. King Absolute had his thought in motion. When it was lunchtime, their lunch was there. When it was dinner time, their dinner was there. When it was bedtime, their bed was turned back and the sheets were all heated nicely and they could just snuggle into their silk sheets and just, you know, feel so beautiful. So, okay. They did it. Now, there were 24 kingdoms being represented there. And these 24 kingdoms had kings of various talents, you might say, of various sincerity. Sincerity probably is, or human integrity and sincerity. So, they're really tied into it. Now, the king had a special meeting. It was a surprise meeting. And he said, mentally, okay, you guys, I'll meet you in the billiard hall, you know. And so they all went to the billiard hall, not knowing what was happening. They just felt they should go to the billiard hall. And there was the king, King Absolute. And all the kings were there. And so the King Absolute knew how integral each one of these people were in following the program. And so he said to King John, he said, King John, you have been worrying about your castle at home. Now, King John, I can snap my finger and give you amnesia so you won't remember it. But then you will not have been master of yourself. So, if you want, I can snap my finger and you won't remember it. Or you can be master of yourself and be a superior king as I am, the ultimate of kings. Oh, I want to be the ultimate king. Okay. Do not let your thought wander back to your kingdom. It's going along. Hey, I'm in charge there too. I mean, I didn't invite you guys to come here to lose your kingdoms. When you go home, your kingdom is going to be whatever your consciousness is when you leave here. And so I want you to spend as much time as you can on developing your consciousness here so that when you go home, your kingdom will be as good as mine, or even better from the point of view, you have different interests, you have different desires, you have different platitudes that you would like to see revealed in your kingdom, okay? So, after the pool room, after the billiard room incident, they all went back to their suites, and four of them unplugged their television set. And five of them disconnected their internet. Now, not all of them. And thing that you want to do is to recognize that every thought you think, every moment you think it, is very, very, very important. So, now, as every thought you think and everything you do is very important, then it is important for you to keep out of your mind everything that's there. So, theoretically, the best way to do that is to press off. And then it goes off. And the telephone is off. And I won't get a call from anybody or anything. And it says goodbye. Now, isn't that better? Because I don't need that. I'm not going to pay attention to whatever it is. When I'm ready, I'll turn it back on again. So, it's a perfect illustration. We do not want any distractions while we are working on our kingdom come. You know? While we're working on our kingdom and our castle, our temple, while we're working on our divinity, on our allness and our isness, you know? So, you're working on that. And as you're working on that, what's happening? What's happening? Where are you going? You are now one of the kings. And there are women kings, too. They call them queens, you know. And you're the queen of your country, and he's the king of his, and they're the... But all that it means is you're the head. You are responsible for every attitude and every action and every incident and every effect that takes place in that country because you put the cause in motion for it. You put the doubt in motion that it wouldn't work, or you put the confident clause in motion, the cause that it does work now. You see? Now, are you really sincere? Are you really interested in having a wonderful kingdom? Then, before you go to your kingdom, you have to realize what's important. Okay, so now, you're cleaning up your temple. You're cleaning up your castle. You're cleaning up who you are, because that's easiest to work on at the moment. And so, people come up to you and ask for help. And you say, I'm not home. I'm not home. Talk to the minister. He can handle anything. Mentally, you think the people are coming up, because they did so much before. And mentally, you see a tornado coming. And you think, well, I must really tell people. No. Let the minister handle that. He will do perfectly. In your life, as your kingdom, as your castle, as your temple, there are no tornadoes. There are no hurricanes. There are no storms. There is no inclement weather. That means undesirable weather. There is no sub-zero freezing or boiling, you know. Everything in your kingdom, in your temple, in your experience, is ideal. You heard of Camelot, haven't you?
Yeah.
And then every night it rains in Camelot from 12 to 2, da 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 da, and then stuff like that. But you see, it's lovely. And this is what it's all about. The king is in charge of the weather. The king is in charge of his kingdom, everything in his kingdom. And now, just a little aside, but very much in with the program. A country that has a good king has a good kingdom. The country that has a good king or queen is a country that people like to visit. They like to live there. They feel comfortable. They feel happy in every way, okay? Now, why? The attitude of the king's mind. The king does not struggle for things or effects. The king merely puts causes in motion and sees them being revealed. Now, this is what you're learning now. This is what you're learning in this school for kings. School for royalty, you might say. School for Rex, you know. This is what you're learning. You're not learning how to change or control people. You're not learning how to manipulate the world in which you live. In effect, you are, but you aren't. Because you're not controlling anything. You are creating everything perfect. Perfect weather, perfect everything. Perfect soil, perfect crops. You're creating everything perfect. Not because you're manipulating, because that's all you know in your consciousness. All you know in your consciousness is the ideal. Now, if you were to be asked by a very kindly essence, and the essence said to you, if you were God, and you were going to create the perfect world, the perfect nations, the perfect people, the perfect crops, the perfect weather, the perfect everything, what would you create? Now, would you say that you'd create problems and conflicts? No. Then why are you, who you think you're the perfect king or queen, why are you creating a world that has these conflicts? But the conflicts are only in your mind. But you know they're out there. That's right. They're in your mind and you put them out there. Now, when you start creating your world from your ideal allness point of view, as the archetypal concept, the ideal concept of a world, of a peoples that populate a kingdom, of weather, of crops, of product. Now, you in your kingdom, this is a side now, you in your kingdom have a very dirty kingdom, because you in your kingdom have a lot of coal fields. You take coal from the ground. And with that coal, you manufacture a lot of products. And so, from that coal, you put all this soot and dirt into the atmosphere. And so you say to yourself, it's just the way it is, you know. I mean, that's our step. And then you go to the next kingdom, and that kingdom is Mr. Clean, so to speak. And he has coal. He has all these things too. And you look at the kingdom, and you say, well, the people have to have the coal to produce the heat, to produce the this, that, and the other. And they need this, and they need that. And then you say to Mr. Clean, how do you keep your world so clean? How do you keep your kingdom so clean? You have coal and everything like we do, and you manufacture things like we do too. How do you do it? And Mr. Clean says, what do you mean, how do I do it? And Mr. Dirty says, well, I have all this terrible atmosphere, you know, the pollution and stuff like that from burning coal. And Mr. Clean says, coal? Yeah, I understand we have some coal, but we don't use it. You don't use it. Well, how do you use energy to bring out your products that you give people, their houses and things that they want, you know? Well, I went to see Mr. King Absolute, and I said to King Absolute, my people are growing, and the needs are greater, and I need to manufacture things then. Would you explain to me how I would achieve the most pollution-free energy possible? And I'm really not into the sun, and I'm not into wind, and I'm not into ocean power, but how would you do that? And so King Absolute says, well, I've been through that. I've thought about that. Now, what do you want to manufacture? Well, clothing and television sets and this and that and the other, you know, internet and houses and what have you. And so King Absolute said, that's great. Now, you realize that every time you manufacture something, you're going to have new thoughts going through your mind, and what you manufacture will be obsolescent. It will be out of date, and it will not be something that people want. Oh, you're making the problem worse instead of better. You know, I thought you were going to give me a solution. Well, we're coming to that. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to give the people what you want to give them? You want to give them the finest of whatever is available to give them? Oh, yes. But that takes so much energy. Yes, it does. Now, have you ever listened to any of my statements on the internet? Yes?
Yes.
I'm talking to the king. And, oh, yeah, you're the king. You're the queen. Now, have you ever listened? And what is one of them that I use? I am... Come on now. You can do it. I am...
I am divine. I am divine, Adam. I am independently wealthy.
Yeah, now go back to that.
I like me.
Yeah, go back to that.
I am divine, Adam.
I am power.
Power.
I am...
I'm the power of the universe.
I am... Back to that. Back to that.
I am the oneness.
I am pure energy.
I am vital dynamic alive pure energy.
Say it again.
I am vital dynamic alive pure energy.
I am vital dynamic alive pure energy. Now, say it again.
I am vital alive dynamic pure energy.
Now, what did you end up saying? What did you say at the end?
I'm pure energy.
I'm pure energy. Now, you want, you want energy to run your manufacturing plants in your kingdom, right? You want energy to produce the televisions and to produce all these things, right? Right?
Yes.
Right. Why don't you use your own energy? Where is your energy stored?
Within me.
In your thought, right? So why don't you use your own energy to run your manufacturing plants? Wouldn't that be great? Where would you... You wouldn't have to burn gas or coal or oil or electricity or any of these things. You just have your own energy. But that's so complicated. Is it complicated?
No.
Why not?
Because they are my thoughts.
That's right.
They're my thoughts.
They're thoughts. And they're not complicated. They're just thoughts. They're your thoughts. They're not complicated. So, now, you say, I would like to have, say, 3,000 or 20,000 yellow blouses like the one I'm wearing here, you know, and with this three button down the front, and I would like it to be variable sizes for the people that I'm giving it to. All right. Now, I would like to have, it's a special fiber, it's a special this, that, and the other thing. Where is the fiber coming from? Where is the yellow coming from? Do you have orange and blue and pink and brown? Do you have knitting machines? Do you have this, that, and the other thing? What have you got? What have you got? You don't need any of that. Because you think of this completed idea. You see? Now, this is what King Absolute is teaching the other kings. And that's why the other kings have everything. In the world, as humanity knows it in the year 2006, these ideas of that fact are kept in the private banks of the kings and the rulers of the world. And they use it for themselves. But they don't use it for the population. They want to manipulate the population. Well, they could manipulate the population far better if the population knew everything, because you know how it is. You read a book from Prevention Magazine, for instance, and it says, if you want a healthy body, you take these dozen pills. If you want a healthy mind, you take these dozen pills. If you want a healthy toe, you take these dozen pills. If you want a healthy stomach, you take these dozen pills. And by the time you're done, you're taking 200 pills. If you did everything they want, because you want those healthy things. You understand me?
Yes.
And they are things that work. But there's nobody who can take all those pills and find time in the day to do anything else, you see? So, how is it that we live and are alive at all in healthy bodies without taking all those pills that it's recommended for us to take? How can we exist without taking them? Because we don't believe we need them. We don't believe we need them. And we don't. I mean, the hospitals are totally unnecessary if people who had a problem would instantly say, all is in divine order. That's the best pill they could ever take. Now, King Absolute teaches this to the other kings. King Absolute teaches the other kings all about living in paradise. King Absolute teaches them about the crops in their field. He teaches them about the work that was done with thought on growing crops. And the thought was so beautifully done that anything people wanted, they could grow in any way they wanted, without anything more than their thought. You say, oh, really? Have you ever heard of Findhorn? Well, Findhorn is in England. It's the southern part of Scotland. And Findhorn is where these people, there's books out called Findhorn, and these people went to Findhorn on the North Sea, on the Atlantic coast, on the North Atlantic coast of Scotland, of South Scotland, and barren soil, sea water in the sand soil, and everything as intolerable condition as anyone could want to do it. And they went there and grew crops. And they grew, because something in them told them to go there. They didn't go there just to be flippant, but something in them said, go there and do this. And so they planted roses that were growing in London, and the roses grew greater with their experiment than they did in London. They grew many, many, many other things, many things that were not supposed to grow in that temperate climate, bad climate. And it grows. The book of Findhorn just goes on totally with this. Now, they prayed to their devas, and they prayed to their Pan, you know, the god of fertility and the god of growing plants and things like that. And they prayed, but actually what they did was they believed that it would do it, and it did. Now, I'm giving you that illustration right now as a little aside, which shows that this type of school can be. This type of school can take place, and does. They had a school for dictators, which is quite a heavy school. And I read the book back in the 40s, and fascinating story. And all it was just what I'm telling you now. Working with the mind. Letting the mind be the boss, letting the mind be the director, letting the mind be all. Now, that's exciting. That's really exciting stuff. Now, okay, so King Absolute works with these guys. And they don't see the results. They haven't gone home yet. They don't see the results. But they believe what the king is saying. And they work with the king. But no results. That's a lot of confidence. But they see it. The king has results in his world. King Absolute. So then, after the king teaches them to love their body, to give the energy massage, and to do all the beautiful things to their body, and to also bless the food. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love whenever they put it in their bodies. And the water they drink, it doesn't matter what it is, they call it good and beautiful. The air they breathe, no matter what it is, they call it good and beautiful. Everything they do, they call it good and beautiful, and it is so. And it is so. Okay, so they go on from that into other areas. they've done this now for their 7 days, and they've done beautiful, just beautiful. Some of them had to take a refresher. So King Absolute had his son, Prince Absolute, work with those guys who were a little slow, because they didn't pay attention. And he worked very closely with them, and they began to pay attention, and began to have miracles taking place for them. So, the king went on with the rest of the kings. There were 23 of them there that went up with him. Two of them were needed a little refresher. So, the 23 kings worked with him. And after he talked about his body being the temple, and he went through every aspect of it with him, then he went through the aspects of the universe, the air, the clouds, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things that create weather conditions. And he told them how not to look at the weather and see it inclement, but to look at the weather and see it perfect. See? Not to look at the weather and see it as something to improve, but to look at the weather and see it in its ideal, which in reading Richard Bach's books there, he looked at the cloud in the sky, and he tried to blast the cloud out of the sky, get rid of the cloud and everything, and Donald Smoter just said, hey, just poof, think it gone, it's gone. But don't think it gone. Did you read that? You didn't read that. Okay. Don't think it gone. Don't think it there. Blue skies smiling on me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Nothing but the sun shining above, nothing but love, nothing but love. Oh, blue skies shining on me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Nothing but blue skies do I see. I do not see the cloud. I do not see the thunderstorm. I do not see the inclement weather. I do not see any of... Wherever I am, there are blue skies. Wherever I am, it's joyous and wonderful and beautiful and peaceful. Wherever I am, it is divine and wonderful and fantastic. You see? You see? Okay, this is what he's teaching them now. He's teaching them to create the world like it is, not like the confusion of their minds and the confusion of their thoughts and the thoughts of the people brought the storms, brought the rain, brought the flooding, brought the tidal waves, brought blah, 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 who needs to name it, but brought all that stuff. Now, this is a terrible thing that I'm going to say right now, but I'm going to say it. When you are told of an air crash, what happens?
I am divine order.
There will be two more, because there are always three air crashes. Isn't that what society says? And don't say yes, don't even answer it. But these are the type of things that we have been telling ourselves. It takes a week for you to cure a cold. It takes 3 weeks for a leg to heal up. It takes time for things to happen. And you see, King Absolute was teaching his people, his neighbor kings, that now, instantly, whatever cause we put in motion, it is done. When will you be independently wealthy?
Now.
Now. Now. Yes, now. Nice, huh? Okay, but you see, that's the thought we put in our mind, keep in our mind, and always have there. When Eckhart Tolle wrote his book on the now, which is such a beautiful book, but in the beginning, he had to tell his unhappy experience before he wrote the book. His unhappy experience of being so down, down, down with everything, he was going to commit suicide and do all sorts of dumb stuff. And then all of a sudden, this idea came to him. the now. And it took him out of his doldrums and put him into now thinking. Well, now, why did he want that pat on the back for having climbed out of suicide thinking? Why did he need that? Why did he have to tell the problems that go on in the world? Why did, let's leave him alone. Why did, do people have to tell you about their problem before they get to the fact that they don't want it anymore, you know? Well, this is just what we do. And this is what King Absolute was training the other kings to release. See the blue sky. That the clouds mean rain or something, you don't want rain, don't say it. Or no, if you want rain, then you say, raindrops keep falling on my head. Raindrops keep falling on my head, they do, yes, they do. You see, and then the raindrops are falling. But no, you don't want a flood. You want the raindrops. The gentle falling rain, the soaking rain that soaks into the soil beautifully. And it doesn't soak into the soil on the edge of the cliff so that the houses will slide down the cliff. It just soaks in the soil everywhere. And we'll let the people water it by hand by the edge of the cliff if that's what they want to do. Let them do their own thing. But so, you see, we see the water just gently soaking into the ground and everything blossoming like a beautiful forest primeval. Everywhere it is just glorious and beautiful and fresh and marvelous. And you see, that's what you get. Now, this is what you teach yourself. This is what you illustrate to yourself in every way, shape, and form. If you allow yourself to get tangled up in the appearances, then you are an appearance. And the appearances are a limitation in any way. So, what is it that you want for your world? What do you want for your land? Do you want to dig up the gold or the diamonds or the emeralds out of your ground? That's okay. What do you want to do with it? Well, they're pretty. Well, hey, pop, visualize it. You can visualize it far more perfect than you can dig it from the ground. You know? You can visualize the food far more perfect than you can coming from the market, you know. When you think of an apple, do you have a worm in it? No. When you think of an apple, has it got a bruise on it? No. Then why is it we allow apples to be in our life with a worm or a bruise? If it's not in our thought, it must be in our thought because that's the only way it could get in the apple, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, 1,000,000% of the time we are thinking perfect apple. Perfect body, perfect experience, perfect everything, you see? And this is what we want to do. Now, King Absolute is teaching them that, sharing that with them, telling them how it works. And King Absolute goes on into other aspects. He goes on into the aspects of the paradise of where they live. We've just spoken of the perfect weather, the perfect crops, the perfect minerals, whatever you wish, you know, everything in order. Our body, the temple. Now, we come to the fun part. The people. You know? The people. What kind of people does King Absolute have in his kingdom? Tell me.
A reflection of himself.
Yeah, you're right. A reflection of himself. But the people he has in his kingdom are the most ideal, most wonderful, the most joyful, the most fulfilled people in every way, the most super people in every way. People just like himself. Okay. Now, is there going to be a rotten apple in there at all?
Not at all.
Why not? Aren't rotten apples fun?
No.
Some people say, well, oh, that sounds boring. With no rotten apples, that sounds boring. Well, that's where you are. That's not where I am. See what I mean? People who want rotten apples want wars, they want conflicts, they want problems. And why did I create a person in my life who wants that sort of thing? I don't. Everywhere in my world, everyone is harmonious. Everyone loves me. I love everyone. I see everyone doing those things that are harmonious for them and for me. See? Everyone. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of reasoning, regardless of anything that could take place, everyone is absolutely fantastic. Okay? Now you say, well, King Absolute, that sounds good. Now I go home and face the reality of what I got. Oh, what is the reality of what you got, King Christie? What is the reality of what you got?
I am independently wealthy. I am vital, dynamic, alive, pure energy. I like me. I am divine mother. I am peace.
More.
I live in my ideal body. Every function of every organ and function of my body is pure and perfect. I'm whole and perfect.
Christy, you have been living in the circumstances for some time now. And so you've been experiencing it beautifully. And all of a sudden, something tough happens. And it kills people very close to you, and they're not there anymore. They're dead. And you go to see their bodies. Why you do, I don't know. But you go to see their bodies, and then you feel a loss. Now, why would you feel a loss? Why would you feel a loss when some of your closest friends died or moved away or were missing?
That's my human aspect. And I love them.
Why would you see and feel badly when they're gone? Why would you feel badly when they're gone?
I don't
feel badly. Herb, you're putting thoughts into my head that aren't there. I am a master. I am king, queen, marvelous, queen absolute, queen wonderful. I don't have those limiting thoughts. You don't have them. But those experiences take place. Not in my world. Not in my universe. If I hear that someone has died, I say, whoopee, they're off to the next adventure. How wonderful, you know. I'm only concerned about me. Right? Now, why did you want to argue for your ability to be with these people? We told ourselves that these people died, and they're in other places, and then we felt sad, or we didn't feel sad. Now, why are we saying that to ourselves? Yeah. Why do we feel sad, or why don't we feel sad?
We don't feel sad because they have moved to another dimension. They are still alive.
If we even mention that we felt sorry or don't feel sorry, then we do.
But they moved to another dimension. They're still alive.
Okay. They moved to another dimension and they're still alive, but you don't have them right here, and you would like to have them right here. Now, Christy, I'm trying to be tough to you. This does not happen. There is no death. There is nobody moving to another dimension. There is nobody getting sick. There is nobody dying. There is nobody coming or going. There is nobody being born. All is. You understand me? all exists. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new being created. I'm just giving you a hard time. You understand me? And I'm giving you a hard time because first I'm giving you this wonderful information that all is, and King Absolute goes out and manipulates his country and controls. He does not. His country is an exact experience of what he has in his mind. And in his mind, he has perfect crops growing all the time. In his mind, he has people harmoniously getting along with each other in perpetuity, forever. There is no birth. There is no death. There is no time. You understand? And we fall into the trap of time and death. And, oh, I'm sorry. And we are not. Because there is no death. There is no... Look, Christine. Is your mother with you?
She's in my thoughts.
And is she passed on?
Yes, she's
okay.
Passed on.
Okay, so now, if you are Queen Absolute, King Absolute, so now, you think of your mother, you're there. Now, your mother may be doing something she did whenever, but that doesn't matter, but you're there. Your mother is not dead. She is in your thought and alive as much today as ever. And you say, well, why didn't she come visit me? Because you don't ask her. You don't bring her into your mind. Every time you go visit her, and you visit her, and you have a good time. And why are you, who know all time is now, who know no space, no time, no everything, and who know that life is eternal, and who know that everything, everybody, every experience is in the now, and wonderfully so, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But you know it, and still you fall in the trap. And you fall in the trap for only one reason. Because you still have that human game in the back of your mind. Now, I want to get in the back of your mind and scrape that all out of there. Release all of those things. You see, Christine, you say to me, you would like to be divine, and you would like a spiritual healing where you never remember you ever had a problem of any kind. And is that true?
Yes.
It's not true, because you'd be very unhappy that way. Now, Christy, I'm going to stick you again. Do all the nurses in your, under your control, direction, wash their hands after each application? Does every doctor in your hospital, in your activity, do they always wash their hands before and after every time they touch a patient or work with a patient? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
The answer is absolutely, incontrovertibly, yes, 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 yes. And whether the appearance is there that they don't do it or not doesn't make any difference. The only thing that is important to you is that they do that. The only thing that's important to you is that you have the greatest place in Leicester, right? Let's say it.
Leicester.
Leicester. You have a great place in Leicester. Is it neat and orderly?
Yes.
Is everything in its place?
Yes.
Is it a lovely place to go to?
Yes.
Does it have fabulous vibrations?
Yes.
Even before Herb came to visit?
Yes.
And after Herb came to visit, the vibrations were even better?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, but you see what I'm saying? Is it fabulous? It's fabulous. Now, there's nothing for you to do when you get there. Now, if you choose to, you can have a neighbor lady come over and clean it before you get there if you want. I was with Alan, and we were at a little restaurant, and we were having an omelet. And I said, Alan, would you like one? Oh, no, no. I'm going in to have my teeth cleaned. I don't want to get my teeth dirty before I go in. You know, I don't want to get my teeth dirty before I go in to have them cleaned. You know, this is like having a maid come in, that you clean the house before the maid comes in, because you don't want the maid to see that you got a dirty house. But, you see, there's something to that. There's something to that. You don't want the maid to see that you have a dirty house. So, you don't see you have a dirty house, okay?
Yes.
Ellen doesn't want her doctor to see that her teeth are not spotlessly clean as she did before she went there, because she is, well, all she has to do is have a toothbrush in her purse with some toothpaste, go into the restroom after she eats something, and brush her little tootsies, you know, and have them all clean and sparkling, and come out, you know, and be sparkling clean, or she can think them clean. I went to the dentist the other day for a checkup, and before I went to the dentist, I had my teeth all nice and clean now, and then I bought some Dorito chips, which are terrible, and they're, you know, that yellow stuff that gets off the cheese Dorito tips, and you shouldn't eat them because they just are totally bad, but I love it. And so I ate about 10 of them, and then I was ready to go to the dentist, and I had to lick off my fingers and get all that stuff off there, and then finally I said, my teeth are spotless, my teeth are perfect, my teeth are wonderful. And I went into the dentist, the dental hygienist, and the doctor looked at my teeth, said, perfect. She went in, she said, your teeth are so clean. We don't even have to hardly do anything to them. She said, well, we'll go over them just because it's my job, you know. And she didn't find anything. I'd been eating those Doritos. But I said to myself, after I ate them, clean the whistle, and they were. Now, that is impossible, because you can't lick the stuff out of your teeth and get the stuff out from between your teeth and so on, and, you know, unless you have a toothpick and stuff like that. But I did it, and I said, clean the whistle, and I went in there, and she said, clean the whistle, in my term, yeah. But we tell ourselves what condition we want. Your hospital is managed by abundant people who are independently wealthy, and your hospital is independently wealthy. Your hospital is overflowing with money to be used for all the latest equipment that comes out, and all new equipment, no used equipment. Your hospital gets the finest service. It has the greatest, what do you call it, the service plans, where the people come to change the laundry so often and put in new gloves and fill up these things here. And it is just the most efficiently, fantastically run hospital in all the world. Not only Europe, not only London, but all the world. And you are working there as one of its high-salaried employees, you see? And you don't have much to do. Whatever you have to do, you could do in 3 or 4 hours or less. Now, your boss, she has stacks of work. But if you were to really look at those stacks of work, that's the same stacks of work that were there 6 months ago. They're not stacks of work. They are look busy work. So that she does her work and does it beautifully, and then she goes back to her office and sits among her look busy work, and she is untouched, and she just thinks about her family and thinks about her life and thinks how wonderful everything is. I mean, she's a smart lady. She's a cool lady. But she knows what she's doing. And the big wheels who run your hospitals there, they're the same way. And you are the same way. But your hospital is flooded with money. It's just money for every possible thing that you could possibly want. And not foolishly, but good. Everything is to benefit. And they decided that it's a clinic of a sort, and that it deserved better status. So they went out and spent $2 billion on a new hospital building, which is as big as a $2 billion building, and it is fantastic, one of the finest hospitals in the world. And what is your major treatment work that you do there?
Orthopedics.
Trauma orthopedics. And you are the ultimate trauma orthopedics hospital in the world. Patients are sent to you from everywhere in the world, sent in by helicopter, by jet. You have a private jet airport right outside your hospital where the patients can come in and be treated and then be sent home again the very same afternoon, you know, because everything is so perfectly done, you know? You know. One of my students in New Jersey, her father-in-law had a problem, and he was in Guyana in South America, and the problem was quite serious. And so his son-in-law, who is a wealthy boy, he hired this special airplane that has a doctor aboard it and so forth, just for him, and with all the medical equipment necessary to take care of a trauma case, and put him in that airplane, flew him to New Jersey or New York, wherever they have it, and put him in the hospital and worked on. Interesting, huh? And my student, who was having a problem, she just retired and everything else like that, and then all of a sudden, plum, she took on all the illnesses that she had helped people get rid of. And so her son found out that she did, that she was in Canada, and he had the special plane fly to Canada, pick her up, and bring her to the hospital in New Jersey to be worked on. Yeah. And her other son, who is a medical doctor, who runs hospitals and quite successful, he took a leave to stay at home with her and make sure she had all the treatment she needed to take care of whatever she needed. And in about half an hour to an hour every day, he's on the phone running his hospitals. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
But you see, these are things that are created by the consciousness. And these are things that are working so beautifully. And this is you. This is you. This is, see, you're the king. Now, what kind of people do you have in your country, in your nation, in your world, and your people that you create as beautiful, competent, capable people who are doing everything that pleases them and making their life filled with joy and happiness? Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Perhaps we can continue this tomorrow. It's a good start. The kingdom, the castle, paradise, the allness, the isness, divinity, our body, the temple, etc., and how we treat it. So, we'll continue tomorrow with this wonderful series of topics. And did you enjoy today?
I really enjoyed it.
That's good. I didn't have to ask you. All I have to do is just look at your face. So, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.